Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp.
Today we're going to be learning the halachas of living in the sukkah, part 1. This is Simon Kuf Lamed Hey 135. In the halachas of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, we're going to look at three concepts today: the mitzvah of living in the sukkah, the obligation of eating and sleeping in the sukkah, and kiddush in the sukkah. Let's jump straight in. The Torah tells us, "Basukos teishvu shivas yamim." You will dwell in sukkahs for 7 days. Although the word teishvu, the word yeshiva, can sometimes be translated as sitting, it means in this context living. All one's living needs to be in the sukkah. The way the Gemara understands it is, teishvu ke'ein taduru. You're supposed to live in the same way that you regularly stay in your house. That's how you should do that. You should export all of that experience to the sukkah. And let's look at a few questions. What activities should be done in the sukkah? So one should eat, one should drink, one should learn Torah, one should take leisure time, hang out with one's friends and family in the sukkah. One should sleep in the sukkah. One should have conversations with one's friends in one's sukkah. And if one is not able to be able to make it to shul, to a minyan, one should even daven in the sukkah. Are there restrictions on speech in the sukkah? So, of course, the sukkah is a holy place, and therefore one should be extra specially careful to avoid all prohibited or foul speech, especially in the sukkah. Does one need intent when using the sukkah? And the answer is yes. The Torah tells us specifically, Leman yedu dorasechem, in order that your generation should know, ki besukos hashavti es bnei Yisrael. By Tzitzis Eretz Mitzrayim, Hashem says that He wanted to that we should know that Hashem housed us in sukkos when we left Egypt. What exactly does that mean? This is a matter of debate, which is found in the Gemara Daf Beis Amud Beis, where Rabbi Eliezer describes that it refers to the sukkos, refers to a commemoration of the Anane HaKova, the clouds of glory which protected us for 40 years during the sojourn during the desert. Whereas Rabbi Akiva understands that it refers to sukkos mamash. There were huts that we were housed in during the period of time during the desert. This is a matter of debate. It is worthwhile noting, although it seems very much very glorious, thinking about the Anane HaKavod and this miraculous being saved from the vicissitudes of deserts and the complexities of weather and bad animals and whatever else it is, and enemies on the outside. Nonetheless, the idea of Sukkos Mamish is also very important. The Rashbam explains comments in the Chumash, that in Parshas Emor, that what Hashem was trying to do was trying to remind us of our humble beginnings, understanding that people forget where they come from. It just takes one or two generations for people to forget that their parents and grandparents were immigrants, didn't have it so easy, had to build themselves up. And so for once a week, we remind ourselves of our humble beginnings to understand the context where we came from. As the Rashbam understands, let's think about the desert when we didn't have a country, when we weren't so stable. That's what's happening over here. It is interesting that the Tur paskins that we do think that it's about the Anane HaKavod, and therefore one should be thinking about the Anane HaKavod specifically, although both sides are recorded in Halacha. If it commemorates this protection, why is Sukkos then in Tishrei rather than Nisan? Because this process, whether it was the Anane HaKavod or whether it was the Sukkos Mamish, this desert experience began in Nisan when the nation of Israel left Egypt. So why is it being commemorated 6 months away from that? The answer is because in summer people go out to their fields, to their yards, to the outside in booths, and they spend their time there. But it's around the time of the fall in Tishrei in the Northern Hemisphere where people are moving back towards their homes, and when the Jews move out to their booths, to their sukkahs, to their temporary dwellings, it's a demonstration they're only doing this because of the mitzvah, not just because they like to spend time outside. What kind of vessels are not appropriate in the sukkah? So one should not bring like preparation vessels, like pots, water, like the bucket for water drawing in the well, flour vessels, kneading troughs, like kettles, frying pans, mortars for grinding things. Those kind of things, food preparation, should all be left outside. Also, if you have, let's say, candles which are made from earthen, which sometimes get messy and disgusting, they should also not be in the sukkah. What about plates and cups? So they're allowed, of course, to be brought in sukkah to eat, but after one finishes the meal, one should be sure to remove the dirty dishes, not leave them lying around out of respect for the sukkah, but one may leave drinking glasses afterwards. What activities are considered undignified in the sukkah? So one should not be washing one's pots or dishes in the sukkah. Rinsing a wine cup is allowed, but washing dishes is not allowed. Urinating is strictly prohibited, but if it is a private enough environment, marital relations, if a husband and wife do stay there, is permitted. And does bringing inappropriate vessels invalidate the sukkah? So that's why one brings out all the one's baking trays and believes in the sukkah inappropriately. Does that invalidate the sukkah? The answer is no, the sukkah is still kosher, but one may not say the leishev in such an environment. One may not say the bracha on the sukkah in such an environment. We move to our second concept today, and that is the obligation of eating and sleeping in the sukkah. We know that the Torah tells us we need to dwell in the sukkah. Do we have to? Let's say we decided we didn't want to eat so much. Do we have to go to the sukkah? The answer is on the first night of sukkahs, we do. The Torah, why is this? This is because the Torah tells us on the night of the 15th of Nisan, which is the night of Pesach, we have an obligation to eat matzah. And there's a Gezeirah Shavah, there's a word bridge the Chazal learned from here that the 15th of Tishrei, which is connected directly in the word patterns, has the same laws, which means we need to eat a kazayas, a 1 ounce, one fluid ounce of bread in the sukkah on the first night as well. What should one do if it rains on the first night of sukkah? So if it rains, one should wait to see if it stops and then eat there once the rain abates. If it seems that it won't stop, or if the forecast is that it won't stop, then one needs to actually go out, say the Kiddush in the sukkah, Shechianu on the sukkah, and have a kezias, a olive volume of bread without the leishev, and then finish the meal indoors. How long should one wait for this? So the Kitzur records 1 or 2 hours, but it depends. There are a number of different opinions on this. So if the weather forecast is for intermittent rain, one should wait up till at least an hour to see if the rain will stop before saying Kiddush. But if the forecast is for continuous rain all night and one has small kids or elderly guests, one may go out in the rain and do Kiddush right away without having to wait. What if the rain stops later? So let's say one has gone and done Kiddush in the rain and had the first kazayas. Which does one need to change things? The answer is yes. Before Birkas Hamazon, one should return outside to the sukkah, say the bracha of leishev, because one was not able to do that beforehand, and eat more than a kibbetzah of bread, and then bench. After Birkas Hamazon, let's say the rain stops after one's finished the meal inside, then one should return, wash again, and eat a kibbetzah, a egg size of bread, and say leishev, and bench. So one needs to have, if one's able to, if the rain stops, one does need to go out, even if it's dripping, to be able to say the leishev and bench properly. What about the second night of sukkah? So it's very similar to the first night of sukkah. It's patterned directly after the first night of sukkah with one leniency, and that is one does not need to wait. So if it's raining, one does not need to wait an hour to wait. One can start the kiddush and the meal, and if it abates, then one does need to go out. One does need to go out again. At other times on sukkahs, is there an obligation to eat in the sukkah? The answer is only if one is deciding to eat achilas keva. If one's eating a real meal, then one is obligated to go to the sukkah. But if one is not eating a full meal, one is not obligated to go to the sukkah specifically. What constitutes an achilas keva, fixed eating? So this refers to things, let's say breads, something made from the five grains, where one's really sitting down and having a real meal. What about snacks? One does not need to eat in the sukkah if one eats fruit, drinks, meat alone, or cheese. They do not require to be in the sukkah unless they're made into a meal. If they are made into a meal, one should go out and eat there, but they do not require leishev specifically because they're not one of the grain products. What are the rules of sleeping? So the rules of sleeping is that all sleep, even a nap, must be done in the sukkah. And similarly, people should try, even with snacks, to go to the sukkah and make sure not to even drink anything outside the sukkah, even though technically speaking, one's not obligated to, when it comes to the eating. Why are people more lenient about sleeping these days? So the Ramah, Rav Moshe Isserles in the Shulchan Aruch, observes for two reasons. Number one is because in Europe it was very cold in the sukkahs. And number two is because husbands and wives need to be together, and if the sukkah is not suitable for it, then they're married couples, they have this ability to be able to go inside because of this. What if a sukkah cannot be slept in? Because for various reasons, it's built in a place that it's not possible at all, even if people wanted to sleep in, then it would be invalid because it has to be fitting to be able to sleep in as well. Let's move a little further. The third concept today that we can deal with is Kiddush in the Sukkah. When should Kiddush be made? So a man should try to come home from shul right away and say the Kiddush on the first night of Sukkot right away, as long as it has turned night, as the stars have come out. What should the intent be when saying the bracha of Leishev? So it should be to cover all the activities that will follow, the meal that follows, the sleeping, all the leisure activities that are going to be done till the next day, and then until the next morning, that's what the Leishev is going to be covering. What should the intent be in the bracha of Shechianu? So that on the first hour of Sukkot, the Shechianu should not just be on the Yom Tov itself, like a regular Shechianu, but it's also on the making of the Sukkah itself. What order are the Leishev and the Shechianu said? So on the first night we say the Kiddush, which is two brachas of Geffen and then the bracha on the day. And then we followed with Leishev and then Shechianu. But the second night we switch it. We say the first two brachas of Kiddush and then we do Shechianu and then Leishev. Why the switch? So the reason is because the Shechianu goes on the making of the Sukkos on the first night, we place it after the Leishev to indicate that the Shechianu is referring to both the dwelling in the sukkah and the making of the sukkah as well, not just the yom tov itself. What if several heads of family are share a sukkah and they are going to be doing kiddush? So the kids just advises that they all say kiddush at the same time, so they shouldn't be ending at different times and then interrupting by saying amen. This isn't such a common thing today, but in many times in the apartment buildings that had a shared sukkah, then this would be very much a reality of one large shared sukkah, many people coming down. One has to be careful to make sure one doesn't make interruptions after the bracha. With this, we conclude the first part of living in a sukkah. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.